and welcome to this week's Irish Wolves podcast. My name is Tony Lawler, and well, after a great victory against Leicester on Sunday, today I'm joined by Mick McQuillan, Gary Cotter and Tony Cullen to discuss our trip over and all that went on Sunday. And even though we didn't play too well, how much we enjoyed the great win that keeps us on track for, well, God knows where. Hope you enjoy it. Well, good evening, Michael. How are you?
Not too bad.
You got home
all right, yeah?
Missed, the flight was a bit of a mess, so, you know, it was a bit later than I thought I'd be, so I wasn't home till about 3:30, near enough to be understood, I suppose, the day that was, with the weather that was in it, you know? But,
yeah, but good time for you. You had a good time to wait for your bus, had you?
Yeah, about 3/4 of an hour by the time you got out, because it was busy at passport control and all that, you know, so, as you know.
I was lucky I got out fairly quickly there. I was in the quick one.
Yeah.
I was in there and there was about, say, 5 or 6 at it, and 2 got through, and then this other one. She tried twice and she came back and was going back again. I just tipped her the shoulder and said, if you can't get through the force, it's not going to go through. And she says, but I have my passport. I said, I'm not arguing with you. She says, but you said, you're holding me and messed them up. I just walked in and put my thing in and I walked out through it. I said, you know, I told her, once they don't walk, you know what the problem a lot of them are doing, Tony, but they make the mistake. They have the mask halfway around their face.
Yeah.
It doesn't say anything about it. I just take mine down.
Yeah.
Because if they can't see a face, it won't let you through.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? Of course, yeah. I avoid those automatic ones anyway, the electronic ones. I just go up to the window. But the problem is, people come along the queue and they stop at the first queue and they're blocking everything up instead of moving on. Because there's about 5 or 6 queues there, you know, and it all gets blocked up. But, yeah, so once he got past that, yeah, didn't take too long. How are you doing, Gary?
What was it like travelling out, guys? Like, because you went Sunday morning.
I was going to start with that, actually. Well, I got my bus out. I was in the airport just at about 9:05. From security point of view, sailed through. There was no problem in Dublin. And Mick, you were probably the same. Everyone else, Rasha was there as well. He flew through. The flight itself, yeah, I suppose it was on time. A bit bumpy, the flight. We got there. We arrived at about 11:15. 11:20.
Yeah.
And we got a train in Wolverhampton by about 1:45. Mainly because...
That's right, yeah.
There was a bit, with the wind and all that, there was a bit of a delay, I think, getting off with steps. They weren't putting the back steps on, and then they did. So, you know, so we got a train at 12:05. Yeah, we were in Wolverhampton about 12:40. So, we were all in the one flight. So
the storms didn't have that much impact then going out?
No, they didn't. No, there was no...
Well, that's good.
The main problem we thought there'd be would be delay in, you know, in the plane coming in from wherever it was coming in from at that hour of the morning, you know?
Yeah.
That was the flight.
We managed to get a few before the game then?
Yeah, I suppose. Mick, you answer that.
No, we had straight, with the way the weather was and what the weather forecast was, we decided to go straight to Witherspoons to have the meal and then head down and book in for the hotel and then head off either to the hotel, have a few points or to go down to the Leap of Wolf.
Yeah.
Because we weren't going to do much travelling. We were staying close enough to the stadium because the weather forecast wasn't great. And I'll be honest with you, it was the right idea because, by Jesus, the heavens opened and there was actually floods. There were big rivers of water coming down from Molyneux. And I say, I don't think I've seen rain come down as hard as it did.
No.
But it was unbelievable.
Yeah, when I was heading up to Steve Bull and I popped over to get a programme and there was a drain in the middle of the road. It was actually burst. The water was pouring out of it. But it was rain. We were in the Leaping Wolf watching the United game. It was about, well, the kickoff was about 4:30. It must have been about 3:30, 4:20. And we looked out and the rain was lashing down. But thankfully enough, when I got to the Steve Bull, from my situation anyway, the queue was up to the cover part, so there was no... I was surprised. I just nearly walked past thinking it was further up. And I looked and I said, shit. It was much... Now, we were there. We decided to go 4:45, so we were plenty of time. But, got in no problem. And, of course, from the Steve Bull, no rain. I don't know what it was like in the North Bank, Mick. It was fairly all right, was it?
I'm in a great spot at half. But, definitely, you can watch it. I mean, the lights look great. But, boy, Jesus, you knew the lads were having trouble with the ball and the pitch. because the wind was swirling and the rain was torrential. And you know, fair, Gio. I thought the fair served up with the boys and the conditions was fantastic.
Yeah.
And I think they were all knackered at the freaking finish because it certainly pulled the legs out of them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Some of the pictures on Sky before the game, you know, it sounds like that period you were talking about. They showed some people in the uncovered step, you know, in the corner there.
The Jurek stand.
There were sperm flying around.
Don't be giving folks an idea. Really, they'll be like a little bit of a sponsor for that.
But it just looked horrendous, all right, at that point. Yeah. You know?
But there was a guy in front of me going into McGee's afterwards, and he still had the poncho on. I don't know whether it was fucking stuck to him or what, but then he was in there for about an hour afterwards, and he was still wearing and drinking his pint. You know, I just thought he was a big guy, you know. I just thought he looked so funny. It was almost like a badge of honour, like, you know, that he was actually in the, like, you know, certainly for the stand that's only opened up in the last couple of games, like, it wasn't, you know, well, it always seems to be, it seems to attract the rain when it's open, because, you know, it always seems to rain when that fucking stand, and it was full yesterday, by the look of it, you know. Yeah, there was 31,500 there yesterday at the gate. So I'd say there were a few, from looking around me, there were a few empty seats. I'd say a lot of people decided last minute that the weather was so bad that he just didn't go, you know.
Well, you see, Tony, there was problems with some of the rails. Some of the rails were off, but throughout England, there was big problems with lines down and everything, you know.
Yeah, you know, that Damien Griffiths, who been threatening to meet for the last 3 or 4 months, but it always seems to be something happens. But he sent me a message this morning to say that all his trains were cancelled yesterday, so we ended up having to drive in, you know. So I'm not sure where he was coming from now, but, you know, so that was a huge problem for a lot of people. But anyway, I suppose we managed to get there anyway. We had our, as you say, we had our few jars before the game. So just to end the game itself, I suppose, from my point of view, I thought, geez, we started off on a flyer. I'm gonna Gary, what you thought from TV.
Yeah, and atmosphere was great at the start.
Yeah.
Got off to a flyer, as you say. And the early goal, you know, because we don't get them that often, was really good. You know, a really great start to the game. But I think, like, they you know, Leicester didn't roll over.
No.
You know, they made a game of it. That was for sure. Yeah, for long periods what I thought it was actually like was, it'd be interesting how, what you think my thinking is on this, but it was like City and Tottenham. But who was City and who was Tottenham?
Yeah.
Right? You know, Leicester had so much of the ball and all that, and the absolute beauty of it was that we make two chances and we bury them. Like, you know, it doesn't happen that often that we can do that. You know, it's like when we won at City a couple of years ago when Adama got the two goals. It's like, if you've got someone that can actually put it in the net, you can survive on 35% possession, like, you know.
Yeah, I thought we did have a few chances early on and as the first time went on, but I thought really that kind of Leicester took over after we scored. Kind of Leicester really started to dominate the game then, and there was always a feeling, I think, in the first half that if we didn't get a second goal, we weren't going to win the game, you know. I don't know, Mick, what your thoughts were on that first half.
Yeah, Tony's there. Tony in, is he?
He is, yeah, okay.
No, he's going in that one, they're going.
Yeah, no, I think Gary's right. I think we were good until we got the goal. Then we don't score that many that early, but then we were just on the back foot, literally the whole of the first half. I was surprised. Well, I wasn't surprised I got the goal, but I was surprised we could have either been 2 or 3-1 down at half time. They were trying to get the ball in around the back of us all the time, and they must have created 4 or 5 good chances before they got the goal, and then after they created a couple of chances as well. But we were kind of hanging on a little bit. I tell you, I was glad to see half time when it came.
Yeah, I think there was a chance very similar to their goal before that. I think Cody's behind managed to stop the ball cross that came in. If I remember that one, and we managed to scramble it clear. And there were a couple of times that, as you say, they got down. Lukman seemed to be giving Kilman a bit of a run around down that side, because Semedo seemed to be more kind of an attacking position. But Mick, what was your thoughts on how the first half progressed?
Yeah, well, I was lucky enough to be able to see it again there this evening, the whole game again. And my thinking of it, and looking back on the first half, we played some sparkling football. The first goal was a fantastic goal. a lot of great movement in it. We were well on top for the first 20 minutes or 24 minutes, and then they started to get a grip in the game. Yeah, look at the goal. We could have. There was a great move then with, wasn't it, Pedance and
it was when Aidan Nouri had a shot at the end.
Aidan Nouri, that was a fabulous move, yes. and that. So look, we had the far better chances. Yeah, they I think they huffed and puffed when I'm looking at it again. And look, we had fellas would block the shots. You know, if you think about it, okay, but Reza never really had to make and overstretch himself.
No.
In the first half, but yeah, we were delighted to see the half time just to, you know, to get back to get a grip, see what was going to go on. But that's I looked at it all again, and they had a lot of ball and they were causing us problems. And as you say, they did seem to target Kilman from early on with a bit of pace to run at him, because you know it is a little weakness in his game at the moment. But they have, and in fairness to Leicester, you know, they're a decent side.
Yeah,
they have a few problems trying to with corners or balls going in, and that's killing them.
Yeah,
and but you can't deny that they have a lot of players there with a lot of quality, and as well as that, they have a very very astute manager. And that's the way. It was a good game. I thought it was a good tactical game. And it was a type of game we could have struggled to win last year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you definitely, know? Yeah.
And I thought that's what you thought, you know.
Yeah.
I thought one of the features of the first half was the duel between Kilman and Lookman.
Yeah.
And, you know, he did... I thought it was probably the one time this season where, you know, he did get a bit of a roast in Kilman.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but they were, and it's you could actually.
He's tricky like that. Look, yeah. When he's good, he's good.
You could see it in the first half. Not only you know targeting, but you could actually. I saw there was one ball in particular where Kilman. You could actually see it. He was the other side of the pitch, but there was a ball played over his head, a long ball, and he hesitated. You know, which was very unlike him, and you could see kind of he was unsettled at that. And the ball, he stood there. The ball went over his head, and Lookman got in behind him. So you could see his kind of. Attitude is you know, in his game, his mind on the game was a little bit off because he was under a lot of pressure, you know.
Tielemans had a really good chance as well. I don't know whether you remember it. You know, he got it. It was like a side footer towards the edge of the box.
Yeah.
Lookman set him up, I think.
Yeah, I think
that was a good. I think, you know, in fairness, Sam was on his toes and may have got it, but it was a really, really good chance for particularly Tielemans. He usually. Makes the keeper save it at least, you know.
Yeah.
But it was well wide actually.
Yeah.
But the three best bits of skill in the first half, boy, any treasure, was the setup for the first goal, for our first goal, and the amount of passes that was involved and the fellas was involved in it, and some different toys. Like that was quality at the highest level. And then, you know, Neves using the defenders to blindside the goalkeeper, but that was one. But the next one was. Watching, Pedance make it easier out with Tielemans three or four times, and then he whipped in that ball, and Aidan Nouri was very unlucky. It went the wrong side of the goals. That was, you know, top range. And in fairness to Leicester themselves, that the goal themselves, like what do you call it, Aidan Nouri and Saïd was caught out for the. It was a great ball put through the middle of them, but. You know, after watching today, there was a reason for that. I was blaming what they call Aidan Nouri for it. But just before that, he went for the ball in the air, and a man went underneath him, and he hurt him badly.
Yeah, when he landed,
When he landed, and except he was a free kick, because the man just went to take him out and went under him. It was dangerous.
Yeah,
and he kept down. It was within a minute that ball was, but he was still shook when that went through. But in fairness, they threatened something like that a bit earlier.
Yeah.
But it was a good goal. You have to hand it to them, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it was a pity, I suppose, but the timing of it was probably the harshest part. It would have been so close to half-time that if we'd gone in 1-0 up, we might have. But like they came out, I suppose, conscious of the fact that they'd been playing on Thursday night in the Europa, that they came out the second half and they really kind of had a go at us for the first 15, 20 minutes. But would you agree with that, Gary?
Yeah, it starts the second half.
Yeah, second half, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I thought they felt they had the winning of the game at that point. Like, you know, we did struggle for, I would have said the first half of the second half was definitely, you know, the old boxing thing. If it was on points, they would have they would have won it, I'd say. Yeah. That's the most huge thing to take out of yesterday was that despite all that pressure, we could actually break out and score a quality goal,
yeah.
You know, from literally out of nothing, which was what all the pundits and commentators were saying. Top quality finish, and it was highlighted constantly. And Pedence's, as Mick said earlier, the twisting and turning he did in the box and laid it on for eight Nuri shot that hit the stanchion.
Yeah.
Was, you know, they were all in awe of that, the quality of Pedence throughout the game, really.
Yeah. I was, at that dancing he did, I was laughing my head off watching it. I think he's an incredible player anyway, but, you know, people were looking at me because he did so much to him. It was just, I was laughing. It was so fantastic to watch. He could have done it for another 5 minutes. Like Leicester player was fucking didn't know where he was going, you know. And the ground being soft didn't help.
The fact that was Tielemans.
Tielemans, yeah.
It was Tielemans. Yeah. He had him around his finger. But look at Pedence is one of these players you actually go just to see because he can be frustrating. Because the amount of times he gets you into trouble, when he has plenty of time, he gives a stupid pass away, and yeah. You happen to backtrack it. But must say, I thought it was good. But the second half, again, because I had the benefit of watching it again today. Yeah, they started, they did a lot of possession. But, yeah, our defenders was under a little bit of pressure. But there was very few saves that I had to make.
Yeah. Yeah,
there was no really clear cut over chances, and I know there was one late in the match that they had the shot, but he didn't even have a stretch full time. But they did have a lot of possession, and they did have the players that could have done it. But I thought defensively we were under pressure, but we done what we always do. We were able to keep at it and keep at it, you know.
Yeah, I thought. Yeah, I think they suffered probably from what we were suffering early on the season. Plenty of shots, but the goal frame wasn't threatened, as you say. Yeah. Yeah, they were like the only, I think the save Sam made down near the posts near the end, I think was probably one of the rare ones he had to make in the second half. You know, I mean, as I say, you know, we had two, we were clinical for a change, you know, so we had two golden opportunities in each half and we scored, you know, we can't have any complaints on that score. But, like, I mean, you know, I was looking at Leicester in the lead-up to our game. I was saying to you yesterday that lately, I mean, they were robbed by West Ham of 3 points in with a handball in the last minute, if you saw the goal last week. The week before, Spurs turned them over, two goals in injury time. So, you know, like, that's probably 6 points instead of one that they could have easily had. I mean, a lot closer, but there's a bit of a gap there now. Tony, what was your thoughts on the second half?
Yeah, just before I go into that, I just heard that the board of Leicester gave Brendan Rodgers the normal vote of confidence there. I heard it on the radio now when I was coming home after the after their defeat yesterday to us. So I hope that doesn't mean what normally happens after you get a vote of confidence that you're gone within 24 hours or after the next game. But
I
remember in the second half they had quite a few chances. One I don't know who took the shot now. Maybe it was Tielemans, maybe it was one that Gary was on about, but just went past the right hand post watching it in the North Bank. I don't know how close it was. It looked relatively close, but yeah, look, I just thought as the game went on that you know we weren't really creating anything. We were failing. We couldn't hold the ball up when we broke, and we were kicking it up the field towards Jimenez and Podence. Most time it was coming literally straight back. They were moving the ball really quickly, little 1-2s in and out, particularly down the two sides.
Yeah.
And really, I just thought it was a matter of time. People behind me were complaining that he needs to take off Dendonker and bring on another attacker.
Yeah, it's funny. I was getting exactly the same from people around. I was saying, like, you know, whatever about Dendonker and the people that like him or don't like him. I mean, Moutinho was gone off. So I said, whether you like it or not, lads, there's absolutely no chance he was going to take Dendonker off with Moutinho gone as well. Yeah, you know? I mean, like, there'll be no midfield then.
Yeah, this is before, I think, even Moutinho came off and they were saying, oh, we need to play three up front and four in the middle. And I'm thinking to myself, look, we're getting overrun in the middle constantly. Why would we? But he did eventually go that route. And he took Moutinho off. And I think he bought Twang on, did he? Or,
yeah.
Yeah, and improved us a bit. We were holding the ball up a good bit better than after that. And the goal, the second goal we got was great.
Yeah.
Right behind it, going in.
Yeah.
So we get a third one there at the end, but ran out a bit of steam. Remind me of the Europa League match in
Espanyol.
In Espanyol,
yeah.
Nearly, but it wasn't quite as open as that.
He was a bit further out. Yeah, but the now everyone thinks, but you know, the keeper's up the other end of the pitch. You know, it's very easy. Just ping it in there from. I mean, he was out on the right touchline, you know, kind of in his own half.
People tried to hack him down. Did you see that, Mick? When you're watching it again, Schmeichel tried to hack him down.
But what I was thinking overall was that like during the week, I think it was on Friday, Bruno said that, you know, for the first time since he's been there, he's had a full squad, everybody's fit, everyone's training. So my thoughts were that it would be ideal if we were under pressure with 10 minutes to go to bring Neto on, which is more or less what he did. I think it was about 10 minutes to go. Well, it probably would have been earlier, but I think he was probably nearly 5 minutes on the sideline waiting for the ball to go out of play before he came on. But
I
think Johnny was there as well. So what do you think of, you know, with all the players being back now, is it a great time to kind of push us for the last dozen games or so?
Well, I think Tony was he took Matinho off and brought Hwang on, and that definitely, and it was very clearly then back to the old 3-4-3.
Yeah.
And I thought that was possibly what maybe the issue was. We weren't frightening them enough, you know, with our forward play. And when Hwang came on, I thought we were more balanced. We had someone wide right and someone wide left, and Hwang's always lively.
Yeah.
I thought one of the disappointments of the day, I don't know whether you agree or not, was Raul's contribution.
Yeah,
I thought was poor enough at times. He couldn't seem to hold up, couldn't seem to hang on to the ball. Like, even, you know, if he'd go on a run, he couldn't seem to beat anybody. So that was one of the, and Kilman seemed to be getting a bit of a, they were the two negatives, I think, from a player perspective. But yeah, then you're right, with about 10 minutes left, Pedence went and Neto came on. And again, he looked very lively altogether. And there was a fierce debate on Sky about when he got the ball out wide on the right, and Schmeichel was, you know, on the edge of our box.
Yeah.
Robbie Keane was saying, oh, if that was me, I'd have shot as soon as I got it. And gave him the benefit of the doubt. He went up, you know, it covered about 50, 60, 70 metres up the pitch, and then took the shot, and he went a bit, and he went wide. But, you know, that was an extra 10 seconds lost, you know, as well.
Yeah.
You know, if he just moved, he would have just been gone to their defenders possibly and straight back up the pitch, you know. So,
yeah
I think...
I thought a lot of problems were that Matinho didn't get into the game.
He might be still carrying
the injury. He's been out for 2 weeks. And he didn't. And then the other thing, which was a big negative for us, against us, was the wind was howling there the second half.
Yeah.
And we couldn't reach our passes. We liked to switch the balls, and they were going short, and that was frustrating. And as Gary said about Raul up the front, but some of the balls that was getting to him wasn't great. You know what I mean? And that's one point. Then the other point that people talking about, Dendonka, he's possibly the best player we had yesterday. He was twice he was involved in the build up to the first goal.
Yeah,
and he was involved in the pass to Pedence for the second one. And he was, if you look at it again, three or four times he put in crucial tackles in the box. And then what more is the freaking lad to do? Or these fellas need to take off their glasses or put new glasses on them to have a look at what the contribution is given.
Yeah.
And as regards Neto, yeah, great run. But I do think, as I said to you earlier, lads, that he had that run. I say he didn't have much more after that. He certainly has carried a little bit of weight. You know, it's great to see him back because he certainly offers a fantastic voice. But I'd say he'll get another few minutes here and there. And, you know, it won't be long till he's up to speed. To me, it was a fabulous 3 points.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But overall, then, just to wrap the game, your player of the match, Tony, will start with you. Put your neck out there.
I think Pedence was the best player. I think I'd agree with Mick there about Jimenez. He did give the ball away a lot. His first touch wasn't great at times. And there was there in the second half, he should have put Neto through, and he held on to it too long, and he just got the ball taken off him. So, no, I think Pedence.
Yeah. Gary, who was your man?
Yeah, I'd be Pedence was definitely, like, he was the, I would say in summary, he was the difference between the two sides in the game. Like,
yeah,
not alone scoring the goal, but his role throughout. And you know, he annoyed the shit out of him, really, because they just couldn't get it off him most of the time.
Yeah,
he was quality. And in fairness to all the commentators, Match of the Day and Sky, he was unanimously the man of the match, you know. Yeah. And they were drooling over Pedence, you know. Just say pity he just can score a bit more, but I think that'll come with time, maybe. Oh, you know.
Yeah, he's starting to get there. Mick, I suppose, were you unanimous, as you say, in that?
So probably would say, but I thought Neves had a fantastic game. I thought that Donker had there wasn't much between the three. There was certainly for the trickery, and that the problems that they were calling the dents was there a lot of was annoying them big time, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But the only thing I'd say, Gary was saying about when you look at the dents and you look at the likes of Neves, and they're players of quality.
Yeah.
That will get you goals in the tight games.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened yesterday. It was a brilliant move for the second goal, but he struck that ball brilliantly, like an arrow into the bottom corner.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, keep never getting it. And hopeful, you know, we get the three on Thursday, and then the big showdown on Sunday.
Yeah.
We'd have another one of them.
Yeah, that's where we're going to wrap up on that now. Yeah, that's the two big games coming up now.
Good introduction there, mate. No pressure.
No pressure. No pressure.
Oh, I tell you, I haven't said that to any of my Chelsea mates yet, but I think if I told them a mixed prediction, I think they'll be starting to sweat now in third place, you know.
Oh, we're getting there. We're picking them up. We're knocking them off one by one.
Yeah, I was looking at...
You remember, Tony, what I said there a couple of weeks ago, that, you know, after Norwich and Arsenal, it was... And you know, you're going into Spurs, Leicester, Arsenal and West Ham in February, all in February.
Yeah.
It had the potential for the February from hell. But, you know, it's turned right now. It's two defeats, two wins and two games to go.
Yeah.
But you've got to feel that we can get something out of both them games now, Thursday and Sunday.
Yeah.
I would have thought, you know, they're all toss of a coin games. So,
yeah.
But I think we really can. That was immense yesterday to pick up 3 points when you didn't play well. And that was well acknowledged by Neves and Lage immediately after the game in the interviews, you know, that we didn't play well, but we won the game.
Yeah.
You know.
Tony, the game's coming up. What's your thoughts on them?
Yeah, I think we need to win on Thursday night. As soon as we can't lose, and I think we certainly need to win one of the two games and draw the other. I think if we lose one and win one, I just think it's going to be too much to make up. I know we have a couple of games in hand on West Ham.
Yeah,
we fell behind. The 3 points we dropped to Arsenal.
Yeah.
Even if we got a draw there, it would have kept us level par. But we're 3 more points behind Arsenal. I think Arsenal have a game in hand on us as well.
Yeah,
so
that's right, yeah.
Just need to keep thereabouts. And I think we've a better running than most of the other ones at the top. I think Adrian was highlighting, or Jimmy was highlighting earlier, Rash was highlighting earlier, who Man United have left to play.
And
so,
I
think we need to keep thereabouts.
Yeah, and I think March and April are fairly good games for us to make up points on, but as you say, we wouldn't want to be too far behind. So I think Mick will go for two wins, but you know, if we don't lose either of the games and we get 4 points, probably would be great. 6 points, you can never rule it out. We're playing great away from home anyway. So
one of the things I think Lage has proven, you know, I said it after the game yesterday, that's fucking Leicester and Tottenham and Man United, the first three games, that's kind of out of the system now, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's reversed those. And I think he can reverse it on Thursday night.
Yeah.
You know, losing at home to Arsenal, he will have learned a huge amount from that.
Yeah.
And I think they can reverse that Thursday night.
Yeah.
I'd be less sure on Sunday. But again, I still think we've the potential to win.
Yeah.
Win both.
Yeah.
Even, you know, and definitely get something out of both.
Great stuff.
I like your confidence, Gary.
I'm just looking. I'm rubbing the screen here. I'm not sure it is Gary. Is it Gary? Yeah. Has somebody taken over somebody moved into your house there. Anyway, listen, lads, on that note, a good positive note to finish. And hopefully, as I say, we'll be talking next Monday about the 6 points we won. All right. Take care, guys.
Okay.
We'll see you.
And I'll be reminding you. I'll be reminding you.
Good luck. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again next week for some more interesting stories from fans and from former players. Until then, I wish you the best for the next week. And you can follow us on IrishWolves.org on our website or on Irish Wolves on Facebook. Thanks. See you next week.